It's a privilege to get to be here this morning. I don't know if anyone remembers the summer that we had last summer. It was oppressively hot. I think we had over 100 days in a row of temperatures over 100 degrees. And we lived in the concrete jungle of the Metroplex, so it was very not fun. But I had a little break in July. Got to drive up with some of my best friends and go to Wisconsin. And got to be the best man in one of my best friend's wedding. This is Paul Delgado, the young chap in the front. Went to preaching school together. He is the youth and family minister at the Northwest Congregation in Fort Worth. One of my best friends that I've ever had. Very close through triumphs and tragedies. We've been there with each other. It was great to be a part of his special day. The weather was beautiful. I think it might have been in the 80s while everybody else was suffering in 112 degree heat. We had people that were complaining about being cold. That wasn't me. I was enjoying it very much. Getting to see my best friend and his wife so happy. Well, it was an exciting thing to get to be around. Kelsey had, that's Paul's wife, dealt with her own tragedy. Her mother had had cancer. And a few months before their wedding, she passed on to her reward. This picture was the family picture. And they held the picture of the mother. And it was heartbreaking for her to not be there, but we know that she would have been very proud. She definitely approved of Paul. The wedding ceremony was in the backyard. And Mr. Gonzalez had done an amazing job with the yard. It was meticulous. I almost felt bad walking on it. And being from Arkansas, I did take my shoes off and walk around on the cool grass. It was a great, great day. I loved the ending of their wedding. It was an afternoon wedding that went into the evening. And instead of throwing rice, they used sparklers. Made for a really cool picture. And if you look real close, I'm there on the left. Not in the dress. I was wearing a suit. You know, we look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I'm a lucky guy. I've got amazing friends who help make me a better person. I could name people that have done that. Many of you are here. Fred just pointed to himself. Fred is one of those guys. I'm greatly encouraged by Fred Harkrider. We've got a lot of people that work together here at North Jefferson. And we can make each other better. In Proverbs 27, verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. I'm also blessed to have friends that when I make a mistake, they're able to help me get through that because they care about my soul. They care about my soul enough that they want to see me with them in heaven, and that is the best type of friendship that you can have. So our first point of the lesson this morning, Christian friendship is a blessing. Christian friendship is a blessing. Now, some people take it for granted that we meet together on Sundays, but they don't utilize the people that they worship with, people that can help make them better, and people that they can be a positive influence to. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, we read, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth. They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you." We should always be seeking for the truth. There are going to be people who try to pull us away, not only from the truth, but pull us away from religion. We do not need to make those people our main source of friendship. If you want to go to heaven, use your Christian friends to help make you better, that you can also help make them better. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we've said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." The beautiful thing about Christian friendship is I'm never going to have to worry about a guy like Chris Groda telling me, "Hey bro, you know, let's skip services and go get wasted." Well, at least it hadn't happened yet. Can't really skip services. Not only because we're the preachers, because we're Christians. You know, it's very difficult when we surround ourselves with people who don't have a heavenly mindset. You know, some people say, "Well, they're the friends I have." Be the best influence that you can be, but try your best to make friendships here in the congregation. Friends with Christians who can help you in your walk. Because Christian friendship truly is a blessing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." All we had to do was turn on the television this morning and see people that preach the "everybody's invited" "everybody's included," "everybody's invited," but the "everybody's included" gospel. Have a happy thought, do one good deed, you're going to go to heaven. They want to preach something along those lines because it makes you feel nice and warm and fuzzy to know that you didn't have to do anything. All you had to do was something nice once. This isn't what the Bible teaches. If we are truly going to be friends, we don't go with the political correctness of our country today that says don't tell anyone anything. If we're going to utilize Christian friendship, we are not going to endure false doctrine. We're going to endure sound doctrine. And the beauty of sound doctrine is we see that everyone is invited. Everyone is invited, but as our young adult class said this morning, not everyone is going to partake. In the 141st Psalm in verse 5, "Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds." We don't need to fall in with the wicked crowd. We've got to be in the world, but that doesn't mean that we have to be of the world. Let's continue to live above reproach, to influence people, to obey the gospel. In Proverbs 13:18, "Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored." If you see someone who is in error, it is our duty to go to them and help them out of that issue. If we're going to be the friends that we should, one, we're going to help people. And if someone comes to us, we're going to regard the reproof. We should want to go to heaven more than anything. In Proverbs 15:31-32, "He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof requires understanding." A lot of people today in our society are turned against religion because they don't like to be told that they need to change their behavior. If you've obeyed the gospel, your repentance showed a change in behavior. Certain things that you did, you stopped doing. When we do those things, we dwell among the wise. When we repent, we're around people who understand the importance of getting your life back on track. Those who neglect discipline are hurting themselves and separating themselves from God. We need to be a people with open hearts to read the Bible, and when we have people that care for our souls, understand that it is because of friendship, beautiful Christian friendship, and not out of spite that people are trying to help us. We've got working friendship is our second point. Working friendship. Now, that's not like physical working friendship. I couldn't find a way to make this point say what I wanted to. But there's a false belief. Good relationships, the S got cut off, don't just happen. They take time, patience, and two people who truly want to be together. That's the accurate one. There's another picture I tried to find that said, the right relationship that comes along won't take any effort. You know, we're going to be celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Merrymans this morning. I bet if we asked them if it took work, that they would say yes. They would say yes. Relationships take work. They take time and they take patience. And they take two people working together. Now, this is based on a romantic relationship, but if we consider the Christian relationship, it's the same key that applies. It takes time and patience, and it takes people that want to get to know together, want to get to know each other and work together to help each other. Look in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir one another, stir up one another to love and to good works. It should be in our mindset to not think, what am I going to get out of worship? What am I going to get out of the Christian life? What am I going to get about different things? It's a selfish mindset. Our thoughts should also be involved in, how can I help someone else? How can I stir them up to help them to reach their potential? What can I do to help them take a step in Christian growth? If we're going to have working friendship, it is going to take effort. In Titus 3:8, Paul writes to Titus and says, this is a trustworthy saying. Paul said that at least six times in his letters, 1 and 2 Timothy as well as Titus. This is a trustworthy saying, and when he says that, you pay attention. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Doing things that are good. Encouraging one another. Standing up for one another. Being there for one another through the good times and through the bad. If we're wanting to reap the benefits of the Christian life and Christian friendship, we have to put the effort forth to be that friend. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. One of the things that warms my heart, and I know it warms Chris's, because we've got this telepathy thing going, or it's just, I know I enjoy it, I'm sure he does too, is getting messages on Facebook, getting emails, getting phone calls. Hey, enjoyed that class. Enjoyed the sermon you put together. Hey, I'm glad you're doing the work that you're doing. That is encouraging. It lifts you up. Are we being encouraging to others? Do we see work that's being done and being appreciative of that work? When does it say to encourage people? Encourage one another daily. Daily. We need to be looking for opportunities to lift people up instead of tearing people down. Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. As brothers and sisters should. My very first work, after one of my lessons, a lady walked by and said, I said, I'm so glad to have you this morning. And she said, well, it was awful warm in here. Granted, the air conditioner really wasn't working, but somebody that overheard it used it to run me down and said, sometimes people say, you know, it was warm in here because that sermon wasn't all that hot. Yeah. How do you think that made me feel? I mean, we have a tip of the iceberg. Any teacher, elder, preacher puts hours of study in and have a block, little block of time to share what they've prepared. Sometimes it comes together, and sometimes it doesn't. But we need to be people who are encouragers, looking for the positive, trying to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep on loving one another. That agape love, that love in action. In Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, we have great triumphs. Even since we've been here at North Jefferson, since my family has moved here, we've had great triumphs. And we've also had sad times. Let's be a part of both, not the cause of the weeping. But when someone's rejoicing, let's be there with them, happy. And when someone's hurting, let's not just say, be ye warm and fed, and get out of the building to make sure you get to lunch before everybody else. Let's be there for people in times of hurt and in times of pain. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. To have working friendship, to make beautiful Christian friendship work, we have to put forth effort. Being there for one another as we go on. I know that translation I got it from looks funny. That's King James 2000 Bible. And as I was writing that down, I said, that sure looks funny. And saw some squints at it, so I figured I'd explain it. I want you to take this from the sermon this morning. Your friendship has influence. If you are a baptized believer, you have influence in the congregation. There are things that you have endured, things that you have gone through, both positive and negative, heartaches that you've gone through, that you can help someone not to have to endure. There are things and ways that you can reach out where other people will struggle. You have an influence. You're unique. You're special. You're beautiful. The things that have happened in your life have brought you here today. Some people will say, well, I don't mean that much. That is not true. If you are a Christian, you mean very much. And you have great influence in helping others. This doesn't show up very good, but it says, I am trying to be a better person. Trying to be a better person. As we are trying to improve ourselves daily, let's focus on others and help them too. Understand that with you continuing to put forth effort, you continuing to try, you are being an example, and you can be a positive influence that is very much needed in a difficult world today. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. I've been through many trials. You've been through many trials. When we work together, we make each other better. I want to be better. I want to be right in the sight of God. I want to be the best influence I could be. I want to be the best Christian I can be. And personally, for me to do that, is going to be based off of relationships that we have here at North Jefferson. Think about yourself for a minute. You've been through a lot, haven't you? You've had trials, you've endured difficulties, maybe troubles at home, maybe troubles at work, troubles of different types, but you're here. Continue to strive to get better. You can help others to reach their potential, and they can help you as well, but we have to work together in Christian friendship. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." You know, I like everybody's furniture. Hadn't been able to buy anything yet. Not because it's overpriced, just haven't had a need yet. But I know where I'm going to go. Around this community, the Millers have a good reputation. That's one thing I've encountered. Had an ATM machine take our check and not deposit it. And have you ever had a check that wasn't deposited? That can lead to trouble. So I went to the bank and was telling them what happened. And I said, "You know, we've got to transfer money over. We have another account that our bills go through. And if a bill goes through and you don't have the money, guess what happens? It's not very good." And I told the person that was there, I said, "Well, you know," I said, "one of your board members signed the check. I'm sure it's good." And they said, "Well, who was that?" And I said, "Weldon Miller." And they nodded and they made that happen. They were able to credit our account as somebody was going out to that broken ATM to get the check. That reputation didn't happen overnight. I'm not trying to put Weldon on a pedestal, but I'm using him as an example. If anybody were to say something negative about you, would people believe it? Live in such a way that your hard work, your humility, and your diligence to treat people right will be a benefit in the community for people knowing you're a child of God. As well as if somebody tries to say something bad about you, they'll say, "No way. I know him or her. I know they're Christians and I know they're not that way." That's the life that we should be living. And we could always be better. I want to be better. But I'm going to need your help to reach my potential. In Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to study our Bibles to get better and to grow. But this renewal of the mind is what I want to focus on. We don't think about the Lord one day a week. At least we shouldn't. It should be every day, saying, "I'm going to do better today. I am going to be the best Christian I can be today. I'm going to be an encourager today. I'm going to help someone feel better about themselves. I'm going to let someone know I've seen the work that they're doing. I'm going to try to help somebody." And it should be a constant renewal of our mind. John 15, 12 through 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." I really enjoyed my tryout Sunday here back in February. Got to preach. Got to have a fantastic fellowship. Got to learn about Mount Pleasant. Got to answer questions. Got to teach Jay about clout. He didn't know anything about it. He's trying to... You're welcome. Really doesn't matter, but it's fun. And I remember the meeting I had with the elders. Meeting in what's my office now. And I said something, I guess, that was along the lines of, I don't know, treating an eldership like a board of trustees or something. I don't know if I said something about answering to them about... However I worded it, I worded it wrong. And Grady was sitting next to me. And he leaned over and said, "Brother, first and foremost, you're our brother in Christ." I loved that. Whatever our relationship is, elder, deacon, member, first and foremost, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Those relationships are what we should seek to grow on. Jesus had friends. We should desire to have friends too. In Luke 6:31, "And as you wish what others would do to you, do so to them." The golden rule. Oftentimes we'll have people sit back and say, "How come nobody talks to me? How come no one visits me? How come no one does this to me?" You say, "Well, you skedaddle out of here right after the last amen, pretty much on a sprint to your car. What do you expect to do? Chase you down and tackle you by the ankles like a football player? Ah, trip you out in the parking lot? You're going to be my friend." We're not above doing that, though. So just try us. No. If you want friendship, it is going to take effort on your part. Romans 12:10, "Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor." The beauty of outdoing one another and showing honor is it's not a one-time thing. It's not a progression. Not, I bought you a jet, I bought you a plane, I bought you a rocket ship. It's not going to go that way because we don't have the funds for that. It's continuing to be the best friend that you can be, regardless of what you get in return. Colossians 3:12-14 states, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." I love that. If we've been obedient to the gospel, let's show compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, working with one another, loving each other, forgiving each other, growing together, and spending an eternity with each other. So the conclusion of the lesson, the best vitamin for making friends is be one. Pretty clever. Actually, there is a vitamin B1. I'm not really sure what it does, but it didn't really have anything to do with the lesson. Christian friendship truly is a blessing. Utilize your Christian friendships. Don't just let the people you see today be the only time you talk to them or the only time you see them. Make brethren part of your everyday life. Friendship takes work. It takes effort. You can't be a porcupine and then get upset when people don't talk to you. Let's work together. Let's try. And remember that you have influence. Oftentimes people look at the mistakes that they've made and say, "Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. You know, I can't do much of good to anybody." That's not true. Everyone that is here this morning, you have influence. You have gone through things that will make you a benefit to someone else. And that can help them go to heaven. Something that you can help them with. Christian fellowship, Christian friendship truly is beautiful. Let's utilize the gift that God has given to us. If you're not a Christian this morning, I would encourage you to become one. What we see is God's done His part and the part that we have in salvation. God sent His Son, Jesus shed His blood, and the Spirit revealed the Word. I'm so glad that we have the Word of God. Then here's our part. We hear the Word. believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of our sins, changing our lifestyle, confessing that Jesus is the Christ who was raised from the dead, then being baptized into water for the remission of sins. There's nothing magic in our water. Nothing magic. There wasn't anything magic in the Jordan. But the only way that Naaman was going to get rid of his leprosy was to be obedient to God. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to be obedient to the gospel. To do it for the right reasons. To be baptized into the church of the Bible. That's where you have your sins washed away, but you still have a responsibility to remain faithful. Working with each other. Being obedient to the Word of God. Staying faithful until we breathe our final breath. But you know, the Christian life is difficult. Life is difficult. I shouldn't say the Christian life, but being a Christian doesn't mean your difficulties are going to melt away. Sometimes it's easy to get caught in sin, and you need help to get out, to be right with God. Sometimes you're weak when you want to be strong. Sometimes you just need that helping hand and for people to pray for you. If you're not a Christian, become one. And if you need help, don't be ashamed to ask for it. Do whatever it takes to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.